Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Hour of the Time, today being Monday, July 25th, 2005. And this is Doyle Shamlin here in Eager, Arizona, and you're listening to Hour of the Time on WBCQ The Planet, 7.415 megahertz and 9.330 megahertz out of Monticello, Maine. Now for our contact information, if you'd like to write the Hour of the Time, you may do so by writing Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. Again, that's Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. Our website, a wonderful website full of research materials, research links, current project, special series, is hourofthetime.com. That's hourofthetime.com. My email address, hourofthetime@hotmail.com. That's hourofthetime@hotmail.com. So if you'd like to contact me directly. And the studio phone number to share research, leave messages, etc., questions, is 928-333-2942. That's 928-333-2942. Now today we're going into part 9 of our special series that we've been currently doing on the New Age religious movement, ecumenicals, esoteric writings, and Word of Faith movement most specifically in the beginning. Now we're moving on to some more sections of this long series, which is really a culmination of research over years' time that we're putting together really in Mystery Babylon 2 that Bill and I had already started. Our special guest here helping us with this research is the one that was responsible for much of the help given to Bill researching his special topics that he was covering in this same genre, such as Jesus, the Paradox of Christianity, Who Lied, the Bible, Your Church, etc. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you must remember, though, to do this type of research, these long series, is to maintain our website free to the audience 365 days a year, hourofthetime.com, our radio broadcast on WBCQ Monday through Friday, etc., all takes funds and we are listener supported. We need your support, ladies and gentlemen, to keep this and to help us towards our goal of restoring our constitutional republic and our freedoms as it was guaranteed to us by the Constitution and as envisioned by our founding fathers, not corrupted by today's politicians and socialists. Now, this series is very important because it is the basis for the typical socialist tactics for these groups to change fundamental Christianity and convert it into a one-world church religion under a one-world superstate socialist government. Now, you need to understand these topics, and one way you can is to help us and yourself is by donating for research. You can either donate outright via PayPal, right at the front, top of our website, or in the mail, or, better yet, donate for research materials. Broadcasts, like today's and this whole series, are available. The entire catalog is available on the website under the section, The Hot Shop, Hot for Hour of the Time. There you'll see all our audio broadcasts since 1993, video presentations, publications, etc. If you'd like a hard copy of the catalog, we have a nice one. We'll send it out flat, not all folded up. First-class mail to send in your request with the donation to cover shipping and copy replication costs, etc., to our address, and I'll shoot that right out to you. Now, remember, we are listener-supported, and without your support, we cannot maintain this broadcast and website, ladies and gentlemen. Now, after this quick musical break, we're going to go into this next part of our long series on these subjects, ecumenicals, esoteric, New Age religions, Word of Faith movement, etc. This section is a very special presentation from our guest, Rob. And again, for the listening audience, exclusively for Hour of the Time, he has agreed to personal one-on-one correspondence with you, Hour of the Time listeners. His email is rltwoco@aol.com. That's rltwoco@aol.com. Now, we're going to go to a quick musical break and come back and begin our new special segment of this series on these religions and their writings, Today he's going to present a very special one or two part segment of some research he's put together, and it's quite an eye-opener, ladies and gentlemen.
Alright, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Hour of the Time here on WDCQ, the planet, 7.415 megahertz and 9.330 megahertz out of Monticello, Maine. Now, I want to remind everybody again, an Hour of the Time is listener-supported. We cannot keep up this wonderful research and exposure of those forces who would subvert us through socialist tactics and convert everyone into a one-world church, one-world socialist dictatorship. Now, our very special guest today, again, he's been helping us quite a bit, is Rob. Hey, Rob, you there?
I'm here, Doyle.
Alrighty. Let me get your sound here a little bit better. Now, Rob, we're going to be covering kind of a special subject today and possibly tomorrow, depends on how far you get. I'm going to let you go ahead and get started. And, ladies and gentlemen, this is a really important segment of this whole series, this gathering of research here. Each portion, of course, you can always donate for individual portions of this long series. And as soon as we're done, we're going to package it up in its entirety for the Mystery Babylon 2 with several of Bill's famous broadcasts that did not get in Mystery Babylon 1, and some of Bill's very advanced research right before his murder. A lot of Rob in Canada, the Coast and Webmasters research, corporate symbology and its links to the esoteric, and a bunch of my shows. So we're going to have a whole nice gathering for the next grouping of research. Hey, Rob, why don't you go ahead and give everybody your email again, and then go ahead and get started here and introduce it however you like.
Okay, well, my email is rltwoco@aol.com. That's rltwoco@aol.com. And today we're going to be talking a lot about the mysteries and more specifically the Vatican. And it's a little pamphlet I put together just explaining the Vatican. And really what we're doing is we're using the four horsemen of the Book of Revelation. We're using the colors and the prophecies and just to explain different aspects of the Vatican. So let's go ahead and start.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, please pay close attention to this research, and he's going to point out several pertinent details in the ties to esoteric, Vatican, etc. This is very important. You're seeing it all around you in the world today, and probably don't even realize it. All right, Ron.
Okay. Many Christians believe that the Vatican City may be the whore of Revelation and the fulfillment of Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, and also chapters 13, 17, and 18. The listener doesn't have to agree with this explanation, but should verify and check out all the documentation that we will be giving. The four horsemen are the first four seals of the Book of Revelation. Each horse has a different color than the other. Colors have meaning in this prophecy. Horses are not pure animals. They weren't the animals to be used as a sacrifice in the Old Testament. Horses were a curse and an abomination. The Catholic system, namely the Jesuits, the Society of Jesus, believes itself to be the fulfillment of the quote-unquote divine commission of the four horsemen of Revelation chapter 6, in which they would bring about a one-world church and a one-world government under the papacy to usher in the millennial kingdom. Have you ever heard of the four horsemen from the Roman Catholic Notre Dame football team? The first seal is a white horse. Quote, "And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." Unquote. Revelation chapter 6, verse 2. The rider is said to be the Antichrist. He is an imitation of Jesus Christ on the white horse in Revelation chapter 19. The rider of this white horse in chapter 6 may be the papacy. The last pope may be the Antichrist. The rider carries a bow. The pope carries a bowed or bowed crucifix with him usually wherever he goes. The bowed crucifix that he carries with him was intentionally bowed by the Vatican to identify the pope with the rider on the first horse. It says in verse 2 that he has a bow but no arrows. Arrows are weapons that are used to fight in battles. He carries no weapons because his followers fight for him. If he has no arrows or weapons which are used for war, then he must come in peace. It also says in verse 2 that a crown was given unto him. When a man becomes pope, he is crowned, and during his coronation, he takes the tiara to be the father of princes and kings and the governor of the world. A good book to read a lot of this information explaining the pope and the tiara and his coronation is Vatican Imperialism in the 20th Century by Avril Manhattan, page 76. The rider on the white horse has no title of his own. When a man becomes pope, he gives up his own name and is given a pontifical title, which gives him a new name. He no longer has his birth name. The papal dynasty has no real line. A man is not born into it as in a royal dynasty. He is given a crown and a kingdom that are not his. He then is now called Vicarius Filii Dei, which means the vicar of the Son of God. Vicarius is Latin for the Greek word anti. Anti means against or in the place of. This title is Latin. Rome was founded by people who spoke Latin. Latin was the only language allowed in the Roman Empire. The Lateran Treaty was signed on February 11, 1929, and established Vatican City as a sovereign state under the authority of the Pope. The Holy See recognized the Italian state with Rome as its political capital. The Italian state recognized, quote, the Catholic, Apostolic, and Roman religion as the sole religion of the state, unquote, and it declared, quote, the sovereign independence of the Holy See in the international field and the Holy See's sovereign jurisdiction in the Vatican City, unquote. You can read that in Pocket Catholic Dictionary by John A. Hardin. He's a Jesuit, pages 221. The Pope, therefore, has political and religious power.
And, Rob, I want to interject here. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, you need to have something to be writing with. Rob's going to be giving you lots of exact references so that you can go check this out for yourself, like you said right in the beginning. Check out this research yourself. And so you're going to need something to write with. You can't memorize all the passages, authors, books, etc., reference in this piece that he wrote specially for Christians and to help our the time out here. Alright, sorry about that.
Okay. Two things that bring the papacy together are apostolic succession, which claims the papacy must follow the example of the 12 apostles, and that the papacy comes through Peter, who they say was the first pope, and the second is temporal power, upon which the Vatican bases its claim that the pope has authority over the kings of the earth. When we see the two fingers held up by the Pope, the Vatican says that they stand for these two pillars, apostolic succession and temporal power. There are pictures created by the Vatican of Jesus holding up his two fingers, and they say it just represents those two pillars of the Vatican. Although people having used it, being ignorant of its true meaning, the peace symbol was started as a code meaning that peace and victory could only come through world acceptance of apostolic succession and temporal power. And you can read that from the full version by Jack Chick, pages 19 to 21. And we're going to be quoting a lot from Jack Chick's. He wrote some comic books, and he got this information from a man who was a Jesuit priest, Alberto Rivera. And he said he was a Jesuit priest, and he revealed all this information about the Vatican, and we're going to talk about how the Vatican put Hitler and Mussolini in power, decided concordance with countries, and there's stories that supposedly that this man, Alberto Rivera, was never a Jesuit priest. He made up his story. But a lot of the, I don't think there really is a difference in this subject because a lot of the information you could find out about the Vatican, it's true that they were in the cult and they were, you know, the Vatican was behind them. The Vatican was behind different death squads in World War II, the Ustaši squad in Croatia. You know, this is all documented information, you know, supposedly the Jesuits were involved in the Civil War and assassination of Abraham Lincoln. And there are a lot of books out there that do talk about, you know, that a lot of Vatican, you know, banking and involvement in wars and, you know, in, you know, illegal deals that they've been involved with. Dr. Kathy Burns in her book, Masonic and Occult Symbols Illustrated, writes about the same hand gesture that we talked about before, which the Pope and many people use. She says that this hand gesture is of benediction. Quote, the shadow of the hand gesture represents Satan. The shadow, according to Satanists, is a symbol of malediction. A modernized use of this sign appeared in the Daily World of October 18, 1969, as the insignia of the Communist GIs and Vets for Peace. Unquote. Masonic, that's from Masonic and Occult Symbols Illustrated by Dr. Burns, page 232. In this hand gesture, the thumb is not touching the ring and pinky fingers. The Pope uses this hand gesture where his thumb is not touching the ring or pinky fingers. Unquote. Thus, in Satanism, that gesture is known as a sign of the bowman. It is a symbol of the Antichrist. This bowman Antichrist association in the occult is because of the connection between the horn god of witchcraft and the hunt. A popular name for the horn god in England is in fact Hermes the Hunter, unquote. Masonic and occult symbols illustrated by Dr. Burns, and that's pages 233. Dr. Burns later says that, quote, the complete book of witchcraft reveals there was a deeply seated belief in the fascination or enchantment of shadows so that the witch or magician could use them to either produce sickness or death or to inspire love. The shadow of the priest's finger raised in blessing was considered by Satanists, according to American opinion, to have evil significance, a remarkable thing connected with the hand so lifted that its shadow resembles the head and horns of the goat of Baphomet, the symbol of black magic. The use of the shadow of blessing was regarded as a legitimate prerogative of the Pope and was most terribly exercised during the Dark Ages and at the times of the Inquisition, unquote. Again, that's from Masonic and Occult Symbols Illustrated by Burns, page 233. Take a look at the famous drawing of Baphomet by Eliphas Levi. Notice the hand gestures of Baphomet. Dr. Burns on page 230 quotes S.R. Parchment, where he says in his book, Ancient Operative Masonry, quote, those who received initiation into the mysteries were given certain keys pertaining to both white and black magic, which were portrayed by the right hand of Baphomet, pointing upwards to the bright disk of the waxing moon, while the left pointed downward to Luna in darkness. That many of the leading lights of masonry were in quest of the magical secrets no student of occult science will deny, unquote. Notice the arms and hands of the Baphomet. One is pointing up and one is pointing down. This has to do with the Hermetic doctrine and axiom of correspondence known as, quote, as above, so below, unquote. Quote, a fundamental doctrine of occult philosophy, the concept of macrocosm and microcosm, proposes that the universe as a whole, the macrocosm, from the Greek macrocosmos, great cosmos, and the individual human being, the microcosm, from the Greek microcosmos, little cosmos, reflect one another in their essential nature. Ancient mythologies found in many different cultures suggest that the universe is created from the body of a primal human being or giant. Prajapati in Hindu myth, Ymir in the Norse Edas, and so on. By the time of the Greek alchemists, these mythic images had been formalized into a theory that every aspect of the universe had a reflection in the human body, soul, and spirit. This has been a central concept in Western occultism ever since, and serves as a core explanation for astrology and other occult sciences. Since the individual mirrors every aspect of the cosmos, changes in the cosmos will be mirrored in the individual and vice versa, unquote. That's from the New Encyclopedia of the Occult by John Michael Greer, pages 286 to 287. Quote, similarly, in the medieval Kabbalah, the primordial or archetypal man, Adam Kadmon, is regarded as reflecting the image of God the Father and thereby provide the necessary link between humankind and the creator of the universe, unquote. That's from the Dictionary of the Esoteric by Neville Drury, page 192. Also look at the tarot cards. Card 5 in the Major Arcana is the Hierophant. Notice the hand gesture of the right hand of the Hierophant. It is the same hand gesture as the Baphomet. Quote, according to classical interpretation, the Hierophant is a link between God and man, a high priest on earth. His are the ways of tradition. Perhaps a more fitting interpretation for our modern age is to see him as a chain between divine or esoteric knowledge in ourselves. He is our spiritual guide who transcends the material world. He is our teacher. He can help us discover the God that exists within each of us. The Hierophant can also serve as a beacon in the night, guiding us toward the next level of evolution in our own consciousness, unquote. Now, it's from the mystical tarot by Rosemary Ellen Guiley, page 94. Doesn't the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church also claim the same characteristics as the Hierophant? Manly P. Hall, the great scholar of the mystery schools, mentions the tarot cards in his book, The Secret Teachings of All Ages, and says on page 416, quote, the fifth number in major trump is called the Pape, the Pope, and represents the high priest of a pagan or Christian mystery school. In this card, the Hierophant wears a tiara and carries in his left hand the triple cross surmounting the globe of the world. His right hand, bearing upon its back the stigmata, makes the ecclesiastical sign of esotericism, and for him kneel two suppliants or acolytes. The back of the papal throne is in the form of a celestial and a terrestrial column. This card signifies the initiate or master of the mystery of life, and according to the Pythagoreans, the spiritual physician. The illusionary universe in the form of two figures, polarity, kneels before the throne upon which sits the initiate who has elevated his consciousness to the plane of spiritual understanding and reality. In the Pseudo-Egyptian tarot, the master wears the uraeus, a white and black figure, life and death, light and darkness, good and evil, kneel before him. The initiate's mastery over unreality is indicated by a tiara and the triple cross, emblems of rulership over the three worlds which have issued from the unknowable first cause, unquote. Remember that the fifth card of the major arcana is the Hierophant. Manly P. Hall also mentions Pythagorean mathematics and says on page 218 of his book, The Secret Teachings of All Ages, again, quote, the pentad, 5, is a union of an odd and an even number, 3 and 2. Among the Greeks, the pentagram was a sacred symbol of light, health, and vitality. It also symbolized the fifth element, ether, because it is free from the disturbances of the four lower elements. It is called equilibrium because it divides the perfect number 10 into two equal parts. The pentad is symbolic of nature, for when multiplied by itself, it returns into itself just as grains of wheat, starting in the form of seed, pass through nature's processes and reproduce the seed of the wheat as the ultimate form of their own growth. The pentad represents all the superior and inferior beings. It is sometimes referred to as the Hierophant or the priest of the mysteries because of its connection with the spiritual ethers by means of which mystic development is attained. The tetrad, the elements, plus the monad equals the pentad. The Pythagoreans thought that the elements of earth, fire, air, and water were permeated by a substance called ether, the basis of vitality and life. Therefore, they chose the five-pointed star or pentagram as a symbol of vitality, health, and interpenetration. It was customary for the philosophers to conceal the element of earth under the symbol of a dragon, and many of the heroes of antiquity were to go forth and slay the dragon. Hence, they drove their sword, the monad, into the body of the dragon, the tetrad. This resulted in the formation of the pentad, a symbol of the victory of the spiritual nature over the material nature, unquote. Dr. Brown says that a related hand signal is the peace sign or the V sign. She says the sign actually began as a symbol of satanic benediction during rituals, unquote. In this hand signal, the thumb is touching the ring and pinky fingers. The Pope rarely uses his hand signal where the thumb is touching the ring or pinky fingers. Dr. Burns began to say that the V sign has a colorful history. She says V is a Roman sign for the number 5, and Adam Weishaupt, the Jesuit priest, was said to have created the Illuminati on May 1st, 1776, used it to symbolize his laws of fives. Law 1 is chaos, which had to do with the days of matriarchal order. Law 2 is discord, which is when the ruling class emerges to supposedly oppress the pagans in their idea of father gods. Law 3 is confusion, which is when the fight developed between the first two groups in chaos and discord, and to blame the devil for everything that is wrong and evil. Law 4 is bureaucracy, which is when the first three laws are not working. This is the idea of quote-unquote micromanaging people. The elite will then take care of us, and there will be no more middle class. The final law is aftermath, which is when everything collapses and chaos now reigns again. That explanation of Law 5 was from a man named William Schneblin, who was big in a group called Prophecy Club, and he's famous with Jack Chicken. He said that he was all these... He said he was a Mason, he said he was a vampire, he said he was a Satanist, a Mormon, and he was all involved in all these different beliefs. We don't know if this man is telling the truth. William Schneblin, he said, he talks about the 34th degree of Freemasonry a lot and makes all these wild claims. There's he makes some wild claims that he's brought up in the Illuminati, just like Fritz Springmeier talks about the Illuminati. He was reared in the Illuminati, and he was a witch, and all these, all these different religious beliefs. And it, Christians remember there's a man named Mike Warnke. He was a Christian comedian. He said he was a Satanist, and it was later found out that he lied. He was never a Satanist. There was another guy named John Todd, who was famous with Jack Chick, who said he was a high Druid priest in some Druid order, and it was later revealed that he lied. He was never a Druid priest, and he came about in the 1970s, and Jack Chick published his story. But this story about the Illuminati, there was the Law of Fives in the Illuminati. Law of Fives, again, Law 1 was chaos, Law 2 was discord, Law 3 was confusion, Law 4 was bureaucracy, and Law 5 was aftermath. And, again, the Illuminati used the pyramids, they used the pentagram, the symbol of 5. We'll continue. Weishaupt's inner council, again, consisted of 5 men. 3 of those men were Colmer, Francis Dashwood of the Hellfire Club in France, and Alphonse Donatien de Sade. It is from de Sade that we get the word sadism. Another man in Weishaupt's inner council was Mayor Amschel Rothschild, the founder of the great banking house of Rothschild. The 5th in the elite of the inner council of the Illuminati was Adam Weishaupt himself. Weishaupt's original inner council was structured around a pentagram again, which is a symbol of Baphomet and the blazing and bright and morning star Sirius, or Lucifer. Sirius was also called the dog star. It is a symbol of Set, who was the evil brother of Osiris. The blazing star is said to come out in the months of July and August, when human sacrifices had to be made. This is where we get the expression of quote-unquote a dog day afternoon if it is a hot day in July and August. I'll talk more about Mr. Weishaupt and the Illuminati later. Dr. Burns says that in fact the V sign is now used extensively by such communist organizations as the Young Socialist Alliance, Vets for Peace in Vietnam, and the Students for a Democratic Society. And again, that's from Masonic and Occult Symbols Illustrated by Dr. Burns, pages 232 to 234. The rider on the white horse is the Antichrist, which may be the last pope. And now, to use the occult or satanic language, the pope is the bowman. And now if we could go on to the second seal. The second seal is the red horse.
Hey, Rob, why don't we give you a little break here. Get you some water and stuff. I'm sitting here killing you. Just quick musical break, ladies and gentlemen. Let Rob get some water and stuff, and we'll continue on with this special segment here on the Hour of the Time today, the 25th of July, 2005, Monday.
more dangerous than these appliances is the praxis behind them. Ages old. The underground current which informs the modern project is this modern era. You see, for life in our modern era is little more than life in an open-air, mind-controlled laboratory. To transform the mass of targeted percipients plugged into the electronic and digital pageantry of the establishment's system of things.
WBCQ The Planet, Monday the 25th of July 2005, and as always, you need to really be prepared when you listen to Hour of the Time to take notes, etc. Ross putting out a lot of good information here, and he's worked out a special arrangement with Hour of the Time where you can contact him to discuss in detail any of these subjects instead of going through me to forward it to him, etc. His email address is rltwoco@aol.com. That's rob@rltwoco@aol.com. And this special part of our series, again, is his research that he was gathering. Much of the research and materials and books, audio tapes, etc., that Bill had was the result of Rob's research and gathering of this over the years. So he's been quite a help to the Hour of Time, been with us for a long time. And this, again, is a special segment here, this Four Horsemen Explained, if you will, and the symbolism and esoteric ties and Vatican ties. And Rob, why don't you go ahead and continue on here, and then I think Thursday of this week, if I'm correct, the 28th, we're going to do a live call-in show, right?
Yep.
Okay.
So about the Word of Faith, you know, see what could be any questions we can answer from everyone about
okay.
The mysteries and the ecumenical movement.
Yeah, and ladies and gentlemen, we're just choosing that day to kind of give us a break, too, on all this long series, let you ask questions, etc. And the series actually will continue on with Rob as a guest. We have a lot of subjects still to cover, but Thursday I think we're going to open up the phone lines. In fact, I'm sure of it, the 28th. So you be sure to call in that day and ask any questions. And although you won't agree with everything Rob said, I don't. No one can agree with each other on these topics 100%. Let's share research and have some good discussion live on the air. That'll be Thursday the 28th. And again, you'll just simply use 928-333-2942. All righty, Rob, take her away here. Second seal.
The second seal is the red horse. Quote, and there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. Unquote. And that's Revelation 6:4. The color red or scarlet symbolizes political power along with military power and war. It's also the color of blood. Cardinals in the Catholic Church wear red because of the cardinal bird and because the color red symbolizes political power. In the old pagan religion, the god Janus was called Patulcius and Clusius the opener and the shutter. He was a god of doors and hinges. The College of Cardinals prepares men to become Pope. They are loyal to the Pope. The word cardinal is derived from the word cardo, a hinge. A cardinal in the Catholic Church is said to have the power of turning the hinge, of opening the doors of heaven, or of opening or shutting the gates of peace or war upon earth. Cardinals are priests of the hinge. Cardinals are the Pope's counselors and are associated with the Pope and government of the Catholic Church in the world. The colors red or scarlet and purple prepare a cardinal to become Pope. Cardinals help the Pope to sign legislation with countries and also help the Pope to sign concordats with countries. A concordat is a compact between a national government and a religious group establishing terms of agreement concerning matters of mutual interest. Russia is seen by many dispensational Christians to attack Israel in the future, which they believe is predicted in Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39. The dream of Russia has always and will always be communism. Communism is communal ownership, which exists when property belongs to the community as a whole and may be used by any member of the community. The Oxford Dictionary also said that communism is, quote, a theory which advocates a state of society in which there should be no private property, all property being vested in the community and labor organized for the common benefit of all members, the professed principle being that each should work according to his capacity and receive according to his wants, unquote. Remember, the big day to the communists of the revolution was May Day, or May 1st, which is the same day Weishaupt is said to have left the Jesuit order to create the Illuminati on May 1st, 1776. Russia believes that to get to communism, the country has to move through a series of stages. The stage before communism is socialism. Socialism is public ownership, which exists when property belongs to the state or some other political authority that claims the property on behalf of the people as a whole. The Oxford Dictionary also says that socialism is, quote, a theory or policy of social organization which aims at or advocates the ownership and control of the means of production, capital, land, property, etc., by the community as a whole in their administration or distribution in the interests of all, unquote. Today they say that the fall of the Soviet Union was supposedly the end of democracy. This is not true. Today they are said to have international democracy. Democracy is supposedly a good word, especially here in the United States. It is not. The Jesuits are said to hate two things in the U.S., Protestantism and democracy. It would be more accurate to say that the Jesuits hate Protestantism and a constitutional republic, which is which the United States is, but the United States is being degenerated into a democracy. A democracy, according to the Oxford Dictionary, is, quote, government by the people, that form of government in which the sovereign power resides in the people as a whole and is exercised either directly by them or by officers elected by them, unquote. It is also, quote, a state or community in which the government is vested in the people as a whole, unquote. A republic, according to the Oxford Dictionary, is, quote, a state in which the supreme power rests in the people and their elected representatives or officers as opposed to one governed by a king or similar ruler, unquote. An army training manual concerning citizenship from 1928 discusses the differences between a democracy and a republic. And if I remember, this little training manual was published. We published this in Veritas a while ago, describing the difference between democracy and republic. And it says that democracy is, quote, a government of the masses. Authority is derived through mass meeting or any other form of direct expression. It results in mammocracy. Attitude towards property is communistic, which negates property rights. Attitude toward law is that the will of the majority shall regulate, whether it is based upon deliberation or governed by passion, prejudice, and impulse without restraint or regard to consequences. It results in demagogism, license, agitation, discontent, and anarchy. And you can also read this training manual from the Army and a book called The Unseen Hand by A. Ralph Epperson, page 33. The manual then goes on to say that a republic is, quote, authority is derived through the election by the people of public officials best fitted to represent them. Attitude towards property is respect for laws and individual rights in a sensible economic procedure. Attitude toward law is the administration of justice in accord with fixed principles and established evidence with a strict regard to consequences. A greater number of citizens and extent of territory may be brought within its compass. Avoid the dangerous extreme of either tyranny or mimocracy. It results in statesmanship, liberty, reason, justice, contentment, and progress. And it is the standard form of government throughout the world, unquote. You see, a democracy and a republic are not the same thing. Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution says that we are to have a republican form of government. A constitutional republic is where there is a balance of power or separation of power. In the federal government, that balance consists of the executive, the judicial, and the legislative branches. In the election process, when we elect our representatives to go and do the work for our states in Washington, D.C., we elect representatives. Our founders set up this country so that the senators were picked by the state, not elected by the people. This was done so that our constitutional republic couldn't be turned into a democracy in a dictatorial socialist state. One of the first steps, and Bill talked about this before on the show, one of the first steps of turning the U.S. into a democracy was taking the power of the state to choose its senators to choose the senators away and put it into the hands of the electorate or the people. This has been done through the 17th Amendment of the Constitution. Article 1, Section 3 was therefore modified by the 17th Amendment. The 16th Amendment of our Constitution is the income tax. Did you know that a heavy progressive or graduated income tax is the second plank of the Communist Manifesto, which is written by Karl Marx, who was Jesuit trained and went to Jesuit schools? All 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto have already been fulfilled in the United States. Are you beginning to understand now? Our forefathers wrote the Constitution to provide safeguards against despotism or tyranny of the majority or mob rule or rule by factions by providing a balance or separation of power. This balance of power was predicated upon the assumption that none of the three branches could or would infringe upon the powers of the others. We have a system of checks and balances. If one branch was out of hand, the other two would act to keep the one in check. You have to know that when the people understand that they can vote themselves, they have total power. The power is in the people to rule as a whole. When this happens, chaos or anarchy comes because everyone will do their own thing and oppose everyone else. They all want to rule themselves and overthrow other people who oppose them. This happens because no government is established to rule over the people. And to have a rule by law and a system of checks and balances as in the constitutional republic. During a democracy, whatever exists in the treasury, socialism quickly follows. You have to understand that democracy leads to socialism. Socialism later leads to a dictatorship, which is a rule by a demagogue or a leader of the mob. The new world order will be a totalitarian socialism, which is a form of fascism. This calls for a world leader, which will be the Antichrist or the world Messiah that the mystery religions have been talking about for years, of the entire global mob of people. A dictatorship leads to total ownership and control of everything and everybody by the dictator or demagogue in charge. The world leader's authority is supreme and the individual or mob is nothing. You see, socialism as well as communism is not a humanitarian system for redistributing the wealth, but for actually concentrating and controlling it. And actually, it is also a system of concentrating and controlling people. Communism is the extreme of socialism. The words democracy and demagogue originate from the Greek orator Demosthenes. The Greek word demos, according to the Oxford Dictionary, is, quote, The people or commons of an ancient Greek state, especially of a democratic state such as Athens. Unquote. Demosthenes lived from 384 to 322 BC. He committed suicide in 322 BC. He poisoned himself because the Greeks were ruled by Philip of Macedonia, and Demosthenes was actually told to commit suicide. And a statue of Demosthenes can be seen and is standing right in the Vatican in St. Peter's Cathedral in Rome. It is said that because of the death of Demosthenes in 322 BC, the Skull and Bone Society of Yale University created their chapter 322. The Order of Skull and Bones can be saying that its members prefer death to giving up freedom and liberty, so much so that they would rather be dead or poisoned than not to have this freedom and liberty. It is also thought that the reason the Skull and Bone Society created chapter 322 was because of the book of Genesis, chapters 3, verse 22. This verse to them is about initiation and is talking about the ordeal of a man who passes through ritual initiation into perfection and godhood. Adam and Eve ate the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. The number 322 of Skull and Bones, chapter 322, may be a veiled reference to man's inner desire and yearning to become a god and to partake of the tree of life. The goal of every secret society is to have man initiate, eat of the fruit from the tree of life, to become immortal and to become a god. This is the goal of the New Age. I will talk more, again, later more about the Skull and Bones or the Skull and Crossbones later. Capitalism is private ownership, which exists when property belongs to specific people. Capitalism, according to the Oxford Dictionary, is, quote, the condition of possessing capital, the position of a capitalist, a system which favors the existence of capitalists, unquote. Capital obviously means money. A capitalist, according to the Oxford Dictionary, is, quote, one who has accumulated capital, one who has capital available for employment in financial or industrial enterprises, unquote. Adam Smith wrote a book called The Wealth of Nations. This book laid the foundations for capitalism. Now, to understand, we're talking about capitalism, socialism, communism. We have to see that the people who are bringing about communism or socialism are capitalists, wealthy capitalists, like the Rockefellers. And we said that the idea, they say, these men in the mystery schools, like the Rockefellers, Rothschilds, who are these super capitalists, they're the ones who are bringing forth socialism. They say that socialism is the idea that they're going to redistribute the wealth and they're going to, you know, everyone's going to have an equal share. You know, if you believe that, then you're an idiot. If you think that the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds are going to, if they really want socialism, if you think that they're going to actually redistribute their own wealth and their buildings, then you're one of the biggest sheeple, you know, that's out there. You're an idiot. Again, socialism and communism is not, it's not an idea of redistributing the wealth, but it's an idea of concentrating and controlling the money. So these super capitalists, Rockefellers and Rothschilds, will bring the new world order. They're not going to share the wealth of others. Everyone's going to be a slave to these people in the mystery religions in the future. They're going to have all the money. They're not going to separate, you know, and redistribute all the wealth. That's not what socialism, communism really is. It's in these super capitalists. They're the ones who put Hitler in power, Prescott Bush, Rockefellers, Rothschilds are the ones who, you know, helped bank the Russian Revolution in 1917. You know, all these are the men who are, you know, want the New World Order, these men in the mystery schools that are these super capitalists. And you can read a lot about that in a book called None Dare Call It Conspiracy by Gary Allen. He explains more about, again, communism and, you know, the idea that these super capitalists are behind communism. And Solson, which is a really good book to read. Let's go on. Quote, the Vatican is prepared for all eventualities. The Jesuits evaluated World War III, which then is the war of Russia, or that the dispensationalists Christians call Magog, against Israel, against from Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39. And they decided, the Jesuits decided that the U.S. would lose, and the Vatican always goes with the winner. Since then, the Vatican has enthusiastically thrown her support to Moscow and even acquired a communist pope from Poland, which was Pope John Paul II. This is from The Secret History of the Jesuits, which is a really great book that everyone should read, by Edmund Paris, and this was a quote from the publisher's note, Jack Chick, pages 190 to 191. Quote, the Vatican is secretly preparing a concordat with Russia and is currently pushing a Marxist gospel worldwide. Unquote. The Secret History of the Jesuits by Paris, again, the publisher's note, pages 191. The Marxist Catholic gospel is a teaching idea created by the Jesuits, or the Society of Jesus. It is called Liberation Theology, which is based on the teachings of Karl Marx and George Frederick Wilhelm Hegel. According to the Oxford Dictionary, Liberation Theology is, quote, a theory originating amongst Roman Catholic theologians in Latin America, which interprets liberation from social, political, and economic oppression as anticipating the historical process of eschatological salvation. And the word eschatological comes from eschatology, which is just a fancy word for meaning the end times or prophecy of the end of the world. Hegel's teaching was called the Hegelian dialectics. And he was a Mason, a secret society member. He believed that only through reason could man attain freedom, which again is a Masonic concept. He also said that history is a three-step process of change, which is thesis versus antithesis, and equals synthesis or equilibrium, again the Masonic concept. Again, this idea is in the mystery schools, witchcraft, they believe in correspondences, they believe in polarity, they believe, again we talk about, they believe in a lot of the Trinity, three, everything's in threes. So they believe that thesis and antithesis will equal their synthesis or equilibrium. We see this example in the Kabbalah. There's three pillars, and the middle one is the one, you know, you have to have a balance of the forces. Again, the idea of dualism. Hegel said that in a thesis, crises occur and feared by the masses of people mount up. The people become angry and occasionally hysterical about present conditions. Opposition is generated to solve the misery, fear, and sometimes panic experienced by the people. This opposition becomes the antithesis. Then, in the third step of the social process, a synthesis or equilibrium or compromise solution is found to the problem. Equilibrium is temporarily achieved based on this clash and conflict of opposites, which is thesis versus antithesis. This again is the idea of dualism, which is the belief in two equal but opposite forces in the universe, good and evil. And again, a good example is to watch the Star Wars movies to understand the idea of the force. There's a force that guards everything. There's a good side and an evil side, and it'll bring about balance in the universe. This idea is in Freemasonry, Mormonism, Darwin's theory of evolution, etc. Liberation theology teaches that man is basically good, and that the capitalist system has enslaved man with social, economic, and political chains. The Jesuits say that once man overthrows the capitalist system, he is freed from slavery and is saved through socialism, and that's their salvation. Quote, the Jesuits are currently behind the disarmament movement to subdue the U.S. Unquote. The Secret History of the Jesuits by Paris, and this is the publisher's note, page 191. U.S. Catholics, under the leadership of their priests and bishops, want the U.S. to disarm. Legislation is now being pushed through the judicial system, which will make it possible, and is now, you know, a fact for our freedoms to be taken from us. In 1983, the installation of Catholic tribunals was worldwide, recording names and activities of those unfaithful to the Church in preparation for the coming Inquisition. And it was again The Four Horsemen by Jack Chick, pages 29, and also from the Los Angeles Times article on January 21st, 1983. Moscow, it is believed, will serve the Vatican as a muscle to conquer nations where Roman Catholicism will be the only religion tolerated worldwide. Russia will be pushed to attack Israel, fulfilling the prophecies in Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39, according to dispensational. Again, this is the idea of dispensational Christians, that Ezekiel 38 and 39 is the idea of Russia as an attack Israel. Again, it's Secret History of Jesus by Edmund Paris, published on page 191. The Vatican has planned to sign concordats with communist and socialist countries in exchange for the Vatican's political and financial support. The end result will be the New World Order, totalitarian socialism. Vatican City, a Roman Catholic institution which is believed by some to be Mystery Babylon, will come out on top in the tribulation period and take over the U.S. and the world. Don't forget that it is a documented fact that Jesuits helped create and finance communism and the Communist Party in Russia to destroy the Orthodox Church. This is a belief that the Jesuits behind, they were Karl Marx and a lot of the communist leaders, Engels were Jesuit school, and the Vatican's goal is again to use the communism to destroy the Orthodox Church. And we see this in World War II, the Croatians and the Serbs, and they, you know, the Catholic Church didn't want the Serbs who were Orthodox. They wanted to create their own Catholic Croatian state in World War II. And we'll talk about that more later. The Jesuits were behind the Russian Revolution of 1917 as well as American capitalists. And you can read an example on this. And again, Jack Chick talking about this, Alberto Rivero, who was supposedly a Jesuit priest in the Godfathers comic book by Jack Chick. Leonard Ravenhill, in his book Why Revival Tarries, said that, quote, the church today is standing in the sidewalk watching with fever and frustration while the sin-dominated evil geniuses of Moscow strut the middle of the road, breathing out threatenings against whatsoever things are lovely and of good report. Behind follows the purple pageantry of papal Rome. Moreover, the devil has substituted reincarnation for regeneration, familiar spirits for the Holy Spirit, Christian Science for divine healing, the Antichrist for the true Christ, and the Church of Rome for the true Church. Against these twin evils of communism and Romanism, what has the Church to offer? Where is the supernatural? Both in the pulpit and in the press, somnolence seems to have overtaken religious controversy of late. Even Rome does not call us Protestants anymore. We have just the juiceless name of non-Catholics. Significant, isn't it? Hell has no fury like that of this mother of harlots when she is stirred. But who now earnestly contends for the faith once delivered to the saints? Where are unctionized pulpit crusaders? Preachers who should be fishing for men are now too often fishing for compliments from men. Preachers used to sow the seed, now they string intellectual pearls. Imagine a field sown with pearls. And this is a book by Why Revival Tarries by Leonard Ravenhill, pages 19 and 20.
Hey, Rob, we're going to wrap it up here.
Okay.
Hey, thanks a bunch. And ladies and gentlemen, again, you've been hearing our special presentation. Again, today, part 9 of this new series, today, the 25th of July, 2005. And be sure to tune in every day to the Hour of the Time where you can get this cutting-edge research to help reestablish our Constitution and our Republic.